Good evening, Smudge Twins here. Today's episode is called The Haunted Purse.
That's right. The Haunted Purse, you heard us. So how this little story goes is we have a client contact us, mad panic. You guys have to come right now. Problem with her kids. They're having night terrors, screaming. They won't sleep in their own beds. This has been going on for quite a while. You know, like really bad dreams, waking up, not sleeping through the night, being scared, sleeping with their parents. Just a lot of
upset going on in
upset.
The house.
And it was the client's three kids that were noticing the paranormal activity. But the mother was really upset because her kids were really upset. So she contacts us and we'll call the client
Lois,
and we'll call the oldest daughter
Lola.
So Lois, you've got to come right now. So we come as soon as we can, which is, I think, the next day, was it?
Yep.
And we go to the house and, you know, we talk to Lois and we talk to Lola, sit them down and, you know, get a sense of what's going on. And we detect a male energy and a female energy. And Lola reports hearing voices talking downstairs in the middle of the night, arguing when her parents are in bed, and things like the TV coming on and fighting and arguing. And my sister and I here, we tap into spirit to try and figure out what's going on. And we detect that it's Lois's grandfather.
Yeah.
It's the male spirit.
Who we actually knew back in the day because we went. Yeah, we knew him. So.
Anyway, that's a long story, but we knew him, but then we also detected a female energy in the house, and we're kind of like tap into spirit and said something, spirit said something about a purse or something, and Lois's daughter Lola went right away, "Oh, mom," like she tapped in right away and was like, "Oh, mom, remember that purse that we got from that thrift store, like 5 or 6 years ago?" And the mom's like, "Yeah." And Lola goes up to her room, locates the purse, and brings it back. And actually, what had happened is, that they had bought this purse from a thrift store, and the person that had the purse before had passed away and was still attached to this object. So the spirit was in the house causing problems, not a very positive spirit, because she died. We got the information on how she died, but anyway, she was younger.
It was tragic.
Yeah. And she wasn't really ready to go, and she was attached to this purse. So they thought they were just bringing home a purse from the thrift store, but it turns out they were bringing home a spirit. And what was actually happening, what the arguing was happening, is because the grandpa was basically telling this woman spirit that she did not belong in the house and that she shouldn't be there. And this
grandpa was there as a protector.
Yeah, grandpa was there protecting his family. But Lola didn't know that, of course. And, you know, it was very, very scary for the kids and causing a lot of sleep disturbances. So anyway, lo and behold, we did a spirit crossing for both of the souls, and they haven't had any problems since. So
they also got rid of the purse.
Yeah, they got rid of the purse.
In a lot of cases, you can just bless things, but anything that does come into your home, anything that you brought in, especially antiques, but particularly objects made of wood, it holds lots of energy.
Back to the haunted purse that they got rid of. After we crossed the spirit that was attached to the purse, the item was no longer haunted. So passing it along was absolutely fine. But they just didn't feel the need to hang on to it any longer. So it wasn't like somebody else would get the purse and have a problem with that because the problem was already taken care of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, what I was getting at earlier is that, it's a good idea, anything that you bring into your home, to have it, to sage it, to bless it, to clear it. Pam and I can give you some examples of other things that we've run into in our past history, such as
other haunted objects, essentially is what she means, or objects that have spirit attached to them that you bring into a home and have paranormal activity happening. Okay. Any examples?
Well, Mom's record player. We talked about that back in Mama's Little Freaks. That was a record player from the 1920s. And that had to be wound up like a crank. And that thing would just go off.
Start playing in the middle of the night.
Start playing in the middle of the night. Start playing when we were watching TV. And anytime that that record player started to play, we knew that our grandma was around. It wasn't actually a scary thing, but it definitely grabbed your attention. It definitely scared Mom. It definitely scared our mom. But
it's a thing.
It's a thing for sure.
On that note, I was recently compelled to go into a sort of an antique thrift store type thing, really cool stuff. So Spirit's like, hey, why don't you, you know, go in? So I'm like divinely guided in. And what am I looking for? What am I looking for? And this beautiful silver candelabra grabs my attention. And it's got like a finger loop on it. Like it's like an old fashioned candlestick holder that was actually used for lighting. And anyway, I thought this is just so, so amazing. I have to have it. So shelled out the whole $8 for it and brought my shiny new object home, only to realize that it came with a lot more than a free candle. Yeah. Came with a little old lady, actually. Actually got a name from her, but I can't recall it right now. So
you have it all in your journal.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you want to say?
Well, okay. I thought, didn't you?
I do. I'm kind of looking that up right now.
Oh, you are. To be honest. Okay. So pause on the haunted candle. We'll move over to.
Yeah, I got quite a bit of information on that, but I'm just trying to look it up.
Well, many years ago, I guess I could tell. I'll tell the haunted house in Australia story.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Well, Pam's looking through her notes on the haunted candle. I'll bring up. So years ago, we backpacked in Australia, and it was many years ago. And we were not in our own surroundings, obviously. We were in a different country. And we had, you know, made some friends along the way. And we were in downtown Sydney. And all the buildings there, they're beautiful. The homes, they're all made of brick and stuff like that. But they're also hundreds of years old in some cases. Anyway, we're in this neighborhood that I would equate to like Shaughnessy in Vancouver. There were lots of big mansions and big houses. Anyway, we were in this really big house that rented out many different rooms in it. And, you know, there was a party at the house and there's lots of young people going to college and stuff like that, renting different rooms. And we were staying in a room with a friend of a friend there. And Pam and I were given a bedroom with a double bed in it. And we just, the feeling in the house was absolutely so, like nothing we've ever experienced before. It was just, it was horrific. And we didn't sleep a wink that night. We were awake all night. Not only were we awake, but we were terrified. We were, the things that were happening, the noises, we could hear noises. We could hear footsteps down the hallway. We could hear that our door handle was being tried. Like it was being, that someone was on the other side of it. I remember my sister and I just absolutely praying for daylight to come, just praying for daylight to come. It was like one of the longest nights of our life. Still, we have no idea why we're, you know, feeling and reacting this way. So the next morning, well, we were still up, right? And you know, it's kind of a weird one too when you arrive at a place in the dead of night, and then in the morning, you know, there's sunlight and you can sort of see your surroundings a lot better. Well, it was bizarre. It was like there was this courtyard, and then there was like a brick wall, and then the brick wall was the door, and out from the door was the street. So basically you entered through this door. There was this big jungly kind of courtyard with a big, huge brick retaining wall. And then you go into this big house. So we don't have anything like that really over here to speak of. Anyway, so Pam and I were sitting having tea in the morning, and our friend Brooke, actually, when she woke up, she came outside and we were sitting in this courtyard. And Brooke's like, "Oh, okay, you guys, so how did you sleep last night?" And Pam and I were like, not a wink, not a wink of sleep, not a wink of sleep. Like, and we started telling Brooke what had happened during the night. And Brooke's eyes just kind of went as big as saucers. And she listened to us and her jaw kind of dropping. And she then told us that the lady across the street, this had just happened. It had only happened a week prior.
Mm-hmm.
That this woman, a mother of two, was home during the day, and I guess she'd been grocery shopping. So she was bringing the groceries in from the car, mm-hmm. and she, on one of her trips into the house with groceries, a man entered the house, and he ended up raping and murdering her. So,
yeah.
The energy that Pam and I, it was a horrific, horrific scene. And the energy that Pam and I were getting that night was directly a result of all of that trauma and everything. So it was as real as anything. It was completely unbelievable. So maybe moving on to a little bit more cheery notes.
Okay, back to the haunted candle. So
I'm getting too morose over here.
Save
me from myself.
I documented information. Of course, it's not on my phone because spirit works in really fantastic ways. But this lady that was attached to it, actually, I enjoyed kind of having her company because it was like Christmas time and she had like that great grandma energy vibe. And I was kind of getting a kick out of it because I kind of really miss my grandma and stuff like that still. But I was kind of like, okay, you know, maybe I'll just keep her around a bit. It's Christmas. I'm finding this entertaining. Like I'm getting information from her and everything. And her name is, what did I say? Something like Gladys or something like that. And her last name was Robson. And she was really like one of these energies that just like, oh, my family's great. And I'm kind of like, yeah, Gladys, but like you've been passed away for quite a while. Like they're well aware that you're, you know, you've passed on and they've kind of gotten used to that idea. And like, you need to get used to that idea. And she was almost like, well, like, no, like I'm not dead and that's my candle. And like, she wasn't being hostile or anything like that, but she was just really adamant. One of these really persistent, adamant personalities that she was just still all with me. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to spend some time with you and we'll kind of hang out and, you know, you got to get used to the idea that you're not here anymore. Like I'll help you get used to the idea here. So anyway, I'm like, okay, just sort of going to have her around, like, you know, kind of like a token mascot for a bit. Right. So I go to sleep and I had a pretty wild night. I was asleep. I was awake more than I was asleep. Her energy was just like, it was so big and it was in my room. And I decided the next day, you know what, Gladys, this is off. This is over. Like I can't do another night like this. So I did end up doing a soul crossing with her because, that just didn't work out so great. So that's the whole thing. You have spirit around and they can be completely harmless, but energetically they affect things like they just like if basic things like sleep.
Absolutely.
Right. Like the energy and the presence is so strong that you can't sleep and that can turn into a big thing.
Yeah. And I'm sure for some listening to this, you just think we need to get on medication because we're absolutely nuts. But if you start doing research and you look at how the reality shows and stuff like that, there's so much documentation on hauntings and, I guess each to their own, but.
We're not really here to convince anybody of anything, because like everybody believes what they believe or if you haven't had any experiences,
right,
it would be really difficult to believe.
I agree.
That the paranormal and all this stuff exists. But when you walk in our world, this is as common as, you know, you talking to your friend about,
well, we're,
you
know, dealing with it all
going,
the time.
Oh, yesterday I went to the grocery store. Oh yeah. Okay. Like blah, blah, blah.
Well, we're dealing with people and clients that are having situations and things that are happening too. Right. So,
yeah. You know, it's thing anyway, the haunted candelabra, that was kind of cool, but like a good eye opener also for me to remind myself, like, you know, like it was a good eye opener. Like, yeah, you do need to sort of be mindful of what you bring into your home, because people that are spiritual or sense spirit or can communicate with spirit, we're like, you know, you're sitting on the porch and there's a light on outside and it's dark out and all the bugs are attracted to the light. Well, people that can communicate with spirit are like the light, and then spirit sees that light and just starts coming.
They're attracted to it.
So it's kind of explained like that.
Just got to protect yourself. And the other thing too, is that when we are going into clients' homes and we are discovering what is present, just treating spirit with the respect that we treat spirit like we would a child, a small child. You're polite and you're respectful.
Yeah.
And that's a key component that a lot of people don't realize. You really need to treat them with respect, because if you're challenging them, all you're going to do is
piss them off.
It goes from bad to worse really fast with them. And if you're show yourself and saying all these things and taunting them, rest assured it can get really dangerous quite quickly.
Physical things can start happening, you know, like things getting thrown around, or you can get pushed,
or things can be thrown at. Objects can be thrown at people. People can get scratched.
Yeah.
Lots of different things. So, you know, as far as...
And we're speaking from personal experience.
Well,
because when we were teenagers, we didn't know what we were doing. And we were having a lot of like seances and things like that. And
playing with Ouija boards. And
we were physically getting hurt. And a lot of things like that were happening. Because really, we didn't know what we were doing. We were just really good at bringing spirit in. And a lot of people are like that. They are susceptible to spirit, and they can open portals and stuff like that. And they can bring all sorts of things in, and then they don't know what to do with it. Like it's say you bring all this stuff in and then it's wreaking havoc in your life.
Yeah.
And you've brought it all in, but you don't know what to do with it. Well, if that's the case, then, you know, there are people around that can help, such as ourselves. And just, you know, if your kids are wanting to get Ouija boards or you're wanting to get Ouija boards and you don't know what you're doing, highly not recommended.
We don't play with Ouija boards
any longer.
No. We had our stint.
Been there, done that.
Got the t-shirt. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And as far as paranormal too, like we would love to collab at some point with paranormal. Because we would love to be able to come in at the thing with paranormal investigators is they go into a home and they're like, hey, what's up, spirit? And they're asking all these questions and trying to get spirit to show themselves because they want to document it. And they're highly skeptical, which is cool. That's great. But
well, not all. Some paranormal investigators are and some aren't.
Yeah, like just like everything. But anyways,
Well, basically what my sister's trying to say is we are paranormal investigators in that we can go in and figure out exactly what's going on.
What I'm trying to get at is that a lot of paranormals, they'll kick up the dust, something fierce with spirit, and then they pack up their equipment and they leave. And they leave the people that have to still live in the place with even more activity and more things going on, right? Spirit, yeah. So what we would love to do is collab with paranormal. I mean, we are paranormal investigators minus the gear. But the we would love to be able to collab with paranormal investigators and go in after the fact and bless the place and clear it, make sure it's safe after they've been there. Mm-hmm. Because in a lot of cases, people don't realize they're letting these paranormal people in and then there's no blessings or anything that are happening. And I know that a lot of, there are quite a few paranormal investigators that do blessing ceremonies after, and we commend them for that because that's really ethically awesome that they're doing that. Yeah. But if they're not doing that,
don't know that that's something that should be done.
Well, if they don't know, they should know, and people like us should be coming in and helping with that. And a prime example of that is a client that we had recently, and she didn't really give us much of a backstory. So we were missing information. We have forms and stuff on our website where we really do go into a lot of detail, trying to get as much information from the client. For whatever reason, this huge piece of information was left off. We've talked about this clearing. It was one of the most difficult clearings that we've ever done. In saying that, when we actually were doing the ceremony physically, Pam and I were upstairs and there was the balcony, and Pam and I got a huge, huge warning, like on that balcony. Spirit was very negative and very angry right there. There were a few other places in the house, but this was a real hot spot. Okay. We'll give the backstory in a minute on that. So A week later, we talked about it in our last podcast. A week later, we got a call from the client, and her husband was quite skeptical, and there were things going on in their video camera, their security video camera, that things in the garage were flying, and there was a pin pad that opens the garage door, and this pin pad, the cover of the pin pad, was flopping up and down, and the husband was like, "Oh my gosh, what is going on?" So Pam and I were able to get some information, do some distant clearing. It was at this point that we found out the missing piece of information that we didn't have. I guess our client, we're going to call her Betty. Betty. Mm-hmm. Betty was sitting out on that deck with her friend Lori. So Betty and Lori are out. Lori's the guest, a friend, a girlfriend, and they're sitting out having, some glasses of wine. And Betty's telling Lori about the things that are going on in her house, the negative things that are going on in her house. And so Lori comes up with the idea, well, why don't we Google and try and find some paranormal investigators? So Betty agrees. So Lori starts scrolling through Google search and makes a phone call. Couple phone calls, actually, trying to locate, to have somebody to come over to Betty's house, right?
No, they lined up a paranormal team to come over and investigate what was going on. And in the meantime, after doing that, the spirit activity in the house
went really from 0 to 60, kicked up really, 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 really badly.
Yeah.
So then...
they decided maybe
Lori ends up leaving Betty's house that evening, and she's also a client of ours now, and she tells us as plain as day that she was going over a bridge, and she drives a motorcycle, so she's on her speedster motorcycle or whatever the heck it is, and she felt a hand come into her jacket, which is a very deep pocket, and grab her phone.
Pulling it out.
And pulling it out, and obviously it smashed on the bridge. So.
Anyway, we weren't given any of these details.
And basically, things started to happen to Lori after. Negative things started to happen. Events started to occur. She was the one that initiated this paranormal investigation. They ended up canceling it.
Yeah.
And they got us in instead, but they never told us this part of the story, which would have been really helpful.
No, and then we did the clearing for Betty's family, but then Lori also needed
a clearing
based on...
And things have improved greatly since then for both of them. Yeah, incredibly so. So,
but that just goes to show you that the activity was at Betty's house, but it can branch off. Like it can sort of leave with people, like sort of almost like morph off kind of thing. And so it had left Betty's house and branched off then
to Lori's,
and Lori started having problems. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of wacky, but it's kind of the way it works.
Kind of wacky. Yeah.
Anyway.
Should we wrap her up?
I think we should put a bow on it and
put her to bed. Kind of like us.
Put a boo on it. bow on it. And maybe wrap this up. But I don't know. We enjoy talking about this stuff. And
yeah.
We enjoy everybody. Insight. Yeah. I mean, everybody does things differently.
Yeah. And we respect that. This is
but
just
we do
our
consider
take.
Ourselves paranormal investigators because we go in. If we had equipment, we would use it because it would be super cool, but we don't. The equipment that we have is ourselves because we communicate with spirit and sense spirit and see it and feel it. So that's how we're able to investigate how we investigate.
But it would be cool at some point to go with paranormal.
We'd love to collaborate with the team and actually go on an investigation and stuff like that. We think that would be super cool.
Until next time, listeners, thanks for creeping it real.
Anyway, good night.
Good night.